This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of 1 Corinthians. Now, here's Pastor Sandy in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 as he begins his message, Four Duties of a Dad.
1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, we read, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. In this morning's text, Paul describes the feelings he has for the believers in the church at Corinth. He considers them his spiritual children. They are his kids in Christ. Paul loves these Christians like a father loves his children. He says that the Corinthians have 10,000 teachers, but they only have one spiritual father, which is Paul. Certainly, the apostle's intent in this passage is not to preach a Father's Day's message, but his words do provide a portrait of a father's heart. For his approach to the church should be every father's attitude toward his kids. Over a lifetime, a person might have many teachers, but if they have a good father, they are truly blessed. Social commentator David Blankenhorn, he writes about life in this new millennium. Fatherlessness is the most destructive trend of our generation. And I agree. Today, nearly 20 million American children live in fatherless homes. More specifically, 23.6%. That's nearly a quarter of all kids live in a home where dad is absent. And the results of this are devastating and far-reaching. Fatherless children are 6 times more likely to live below the poverty line as kids in homes where the dad is present. Some 43% of state prison inmates grew up in fatherless homes. Young ladies living without a father are twice as likely to become teenage mothers. Children in fatherless families are more vulnerable to ills like dropping out of school, joblessness, drug addiction, suicide, mental illness, sexual abuse. And realize, fatherless homes are not just homes without fathers. Just because you and your kid's dad have the same address and live under the same roof, it doesn't mean that they aren't living in a fatherless situation. Author C.R. Snyder, he provides an illustration that really hammers home this point. He talks about two parents that he observed on separate airplane flights. First was Jenny and her dad. Snyder figured Jenny to be about 3 years old. It was her first time on the airplane, and the dad was just as excited as his daughter was. He explained to Jenny the loud noise at takeoff was from the engines. As the force pushed them back in their seats, Dad whispered, "Honey, I'll hold your hand." Once airborne, Jenny and Dad chatted the whole trip. He even took her around the cabin on a little stroll, pointing out items of interest. When the plane began its descent, Jenny got scared. Her daddy comforted her with a big hug and explained to her what was happening. It was obvious that she trusted him wholeheartedly. But Snyder tells of another flight and a different parent and child. Teddy, too, was about 3 years old. And after Dad had buckled him into his seatbelt, he ordered him, "Now you sit here and be quiet. Daddy's going to sleep." And sleep he did for the entire flight. At times, the little boy was noticeably frightened, but his dad was oblivious to his fears. He ignored his child's thoughts and needs and questions. No words or touches were exchanged. In a real sense, Teddy was flying alone. Dad, just because you sit in the seat next to your kids at breakfast or you sleep in a room down the hall, it doesn't mean they aren't growing up in a fatherless situation. How many kids today are flying alone? Well, that having been said, let me assure you, my goal today is not to bash dads. I want to encourage you if you're a dad. Yes, all dads can improve their fathering skills, but the fact that you're there, that you're involved in your children's lives trying to be a good dad needs to be commended. Dads today need help and support, not condemnation. A USA Today survey of men showed that 71% agreed the job of being a father is more difficult today than a generation ago. And 72% of those men felt that they were doing worse, or at least no better, at the task than their father. That's a tough admission for the male ego. In other words, take the pulse of men today and you'll discover that fatherhood is characterized by frustration and failure. Dads, let me be the first to admit that we all make mistakes. There are no perfect dads. We forget that Charles Ingalls and Cliff Huxtable were both a myth. The only perfect father is named God. You know, it's easy to father a child, but it takes a lot of wisdom and a lot of effort to be a father. Perhaps you thought a dad's job was to help his kids grow up, but equally so, it's the children who often cause us dads to grow up. A top 10 list that proves my point. Here are the top 10 things I learned from my kids that I didn't really want to know. Number 10, a screaming 4-year-old's voice is louder than 200 adults in a crowded restaurant. That's right. Number 9, when you throw a baseball into a spinning ceiling fan, the blades can hit the ball a long way and generate enough force to break a window. Number 8, when you hear the toilet flush followed by the words, uh-oh, it's too late. Number 7, Legos pass through the digestive tract of a 3-year-old. You wouldn't know that if you weren't a father. Number 6, the words Play-Doh and microwave should never be used in the same sentence. Never. Number 5, old MacGyver reruns can teach a child many things he doesn't need to know. Number 4, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches should never be stuffed in a person's back pocket. Number 3, rocks in a gas tank will make lots of noise. Number 2, the spin cycle on a washing machine does not make earthworms dizzy. It does make cats dizzy, and a dizzy cat will throw up twice its body weight. And the number 1 thing as a dad you've learned that you really don't need to know, number 1, or don't want to know, quiet does not necessarily mean all is okay. See, fathers learn from their kids as much, if not more, than they teach them. At times, a dad wonders if he's doing his kids any good at all. But dad, don't underestimate the impact that you're having in your child's life. Even a father with faults is crucial to his child's success in life. A February 1995 U.S. News cover story, Why Dads Count, opened with a bold thesis. Dad is destiny. More than virtually any other factor, a biological father's presence in the family will determine a child's success and happiness. Rich or poor, white or black, the children of divorce and those born outside marriage struggle through life at a measurable disadvantage. It reminds me of the biblical example of the sons of Korah. These were Levitical priests who penned a psalm of praise. You can read it, Psalm 44. It opens, "We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what deeds you did in their days. These sons glorify God because their fathers left them a legacy of faith." Dad, your children are trying to watch the parade called life, but they're just little guys. They're small and they're short. And they can't see the temptations and the distractions and the contradictions that line their path. The only way they can really see it all, the hand of God, the plan of God, is for you to stand tall in your faith and to let them stand on your shoulders. Make no mistake about it, nobody can take the place of the man a child calls dad. As Paul told the Corinthians, "For though you might have 10,000 instructors, yet you do not have many fathers." If you're a dad, please realize you occupy a strategic place in the life of your child. Other men might influence coaches and friends and bosses and mentors and role models. But none will come close to the impact on your kids that dad will have. One author writes, when a child is born, a father is born. The delivery doctor holds up something roughly the size of a loaf of bread for him to see for the very first time. Even if he abandons it forever 10 minutes later, the memory will nag him to the grave. For he has seen the creation of the world. It has his mark upon it. He has its mark upon him. Both marks are, for better or worse, indelible. Father and child are permanently connected. A father has an important position on the team, and there's nobody on the bench totally capable of taking his place. A dad is more needed than he knows. And a dad is needed for more than what's commonly expected. I found the following list of the duties for a gym dad, a cheer dad, and a swim dad. I've been one of the three. I've been a cheerleader's dad. And I would agree with this list. Here are dad's duties. Pay, clap, drive. Pay, clap, drive. For a cheer dad, for a gym dad, for a swim dad, they're not always in this order, trust me. But they are always the same. Pay, clap, drive. In fact, if I were laying out the four duties of a cheerleader dad, it would be drive, pay, clap, and then pay some more. You need a car, you need some money, you need a lot of enthusiasm, and you need even more money. But Paul, in his analogy here in 1 Corinthians 4, he's dealing with a different set of duties. He's concerned about what we provide our kids spiritually. How Paul cared for the Corinthians is how a godly dad should care for his kids. And here Paul reveals four duties of a godly dad. First, love them. Paul refers to the Corinthians as my beloved children. You could say he warms them with his love. And the dad should also love his kids. Second, he warns them. He loves them enough to confront them with truth and bring them needed correction. So is the job of a dad. Third, Paul wants good things for these believers in Corinth. He tells them in verse 16, I urge you. He motivates them to be all that God has made them to be. And this is the job of a dad. And then fourthly, he provides an example. He walks before them and he exhorts his spiritual children. Mimic what I do. Become who I am. I urge you, imitate me, just as every father should say to his children. Here are the four duties of a dad. He warms his kids with love. He warns them with sound advice. He wants God's best for them and urges them on as he walks before them as an example for them to imitate. A good dad warms, warns, wants, and walks. A fourth grade class was asked to write a paper on their favorite hero. One little boy wrote about his dad. When he took the paper home, his dad was so impressed, so proud of his little guy, that he was his little guy's hero. But when the father asked his son why he had picked him, the little guy answered, Dad, it was because I couldn't spell Arnold Schwarzenegger. But dads, if you warm them and warn them and want for them and walk before them, I promise you that one day they'll look at you and they'll call you their hero. Well, the first duty of a dad is to warm his kids with love. And if you're the father of an infant, you are thinking, Pastor Sandy, you're nuts. You've got to be kidding. How elementary can you get? What father needs to be told to love his kids? Of course we're going to love our kids. And you'll go home this afternoon, you'll pick up that little baby, you'll hear him coo and feel him cuddle, and your love will grow by the second. But just wait until that precious little baby logs a few years and starts turning up his nose at you and spewing back talk. You heard of the terrible twos? Well, that term was coined by a parent whose child didn't make it to three because it only grows worse. The terrible twos turn into the defiant fives, and then the sarcastic sevens, and then the whiny nines, and the testy tens. And then your child becomes a teenager. Hold on to your hat. And your little baby is no longer cooing and cuddling. He or she is now bucking and kicking and running around crazy. Trust me, at that point, loving your kids becomes more of a challenge. One year, my oldest son, Zach, and I, we attended the Masters golf tournament, and we bumped into a guy from Missouri, the Show Me State. He was impressed that I'd been given two of the toughest tickets in sports to obtain, and I had chosen to give one of them to my teenage son. He told Zach, he said, "Wow, your dad must really love you." And then the fellow said to me, he said, "Anybody can love their kids when they're little and cute. Don't say you love your children until they become teenagers. Then if you tell me you love them, it really means something." Dad, when your kids reach their teen years, they've been around long enough to disappoint you and embarrass you and say mean things to your wife and even lose a few of your tools out in the backyard. They're not as lovable as they once were. Neither are they as deserving of your love, but understand, they don't need it any less. They need their father's love. In fact, read all of Paul's letters to the Corinthians. This was a church full of selfish, divisive, arrogant, worldly, argumentative, defiant people, carnal Christians. You could have called these believers spiritual adolescents. They questioned Paul's authority and they had thought they knew more than he did. Paul could have written to them, "You ungrateful, inconsiderate, spoiled bunch of brats." And it would have been fitting. Instead, Paul remembers that he too is leaning on God's grace. He also is a recipient of a love he doesn't deserve. And Paul is likewise a beneficiary of God's patience and forgiveness. And so he calls them my beloved children. He warms them with his love. You know, even teenagers are worth loving. As one parent put it, teenagers are like watermelons, hard and green on the outside, but soft and tasty on the inside. Teenagers are still edible. They're still digestible. You can have a relationship with one. It just takes a lot more effort. You got to get past the rind, spit out a few seeds, but love them anyway. Love will find a way. Parents, always remember that love is like water. Love always flows downward. What I mean by that is that our love for God is never as strong as his love for us. Love flows downward. In the same way, I don't love my parents as much as they love me. And likewise, my child's love for me will never eclipse my love for them. So don't expect it to. And don't withhold your love when you find that it's not always reciprocated. Just keep loving them. If your relationship with your child is in the deep freeze, warm it up with a show of your love. Well, the second duty of a dad is to warn his kid. The point of Paul's letters to the Corinthians, both his letters, was to sound a warning. The believers were being deceived and led astray, and Paul loves them enough to warn them. And this is a father's job. It's tough, but it's necessary. Dad, at times, your place is in your kid's face. Bill Maher is the host of the TV show Politically Incorrect. I disagree with just about everything Bill says. But in one interview, he was asked the question, "Were you and your dad good friends?" He answered, "Friends? We're friends now. But while growing up, I didn't need my dad to be my friend. I needed him to be my dad." This idea of dads getting mushy and being friends is overblown. Dads are supposed to be the guy who tells you right from wrong. Today, all four of my kids are out of the house and they're on their own. And yes, we're friends. All along, I tried to do stuff with them to cultivate our current friendship. But there were days when I had to make the choice, when I couldn't be both their dad and their friend. I had to choose. See, friends advise and comfort and empathize and tell a person what they want to hear. But dads put their foot down. They say no and mean it. They ruffle feathers and at times they create tension. A dad doesn't mind the heat, though. A loving father knows the importance of showing courage and exercising discipline and doing what's best for his kids in the long run. A father has to always remember, I'm not running for re-election. Men, your kids will have lots of friends that'll tell them what they want to hear. But a friend isn't a father. A dad has to step up and lead. God hasn't called you to walk with your child side by side. You're the one who's been around. You're the one who knows God. You're the one, hopefully, who studied His Word. Father knows best. That's why you've been called to walk out front, to determine the course, to set the pace for your child. Several years ago, one of my sons had football practice. All three boys, my other two sons went with me to go pick him up. Well, after practice, we were all four of us walking across the field to our car, when all of a sudden the oldest, who shall remain nameless, the oldest, he says to me, Dad, why don't you take your glasses off and wrestle me? I think I can take you. I think, you think you can take me? Well, I took my glasses off. I handed them to his two astonished brothers. And in 5 seconds, I had that kid in a full Nelson down on the ground rubbing his face in the grass. He had underestimated the old man. Of course, it was all in fun. But there have been other struggles with my children that have been no fun at all. They were draining and agonizing. With four kids all close in age, there was a season in our family life where wrestling matches seemed to be a constant occurrence. See, teenagers like to assert their independence, which is good. But a parent's job is to insist that privilege and responsibility goes hand in hand. That you don't get the privilege without also taking on the responsibility. See, if I know nothing else about child rearing, I know this one thing. Dad needs to win the battles. Kids need to know who is the boss and that it's not them. Every child needs a dad who's not afraid to be in charge. When God judged the high priest Eli, he told the prophet Samuel, I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. Eli allowed his son's rebellion to go unchecked. Maybe he thought, if I come down too hard on my boys now, I'll lose them forever. But understand, just the opposite was true. Because he didn't come down on them, he ended up losing them. God had to judge them. Kids are extremely forgiving. They're willing to forget our mistakes. But the one thing they won't forgive us for is our cowardice. They'll go elsewhere for strength. You'll never gain your child's respect if you wimp out and don't lead. Kids don't want to be bullied, but neither do they want to be left to themselves. They want parents who care enough for them to offer their guidance. Well, the third duty of a dad is to urge on his kids. He warms them with his love. He warns them about the dangers around them, but he also wants for them.
One of the most recognized passages from the Bible is in the book of 1 Corinthians, the New Testament letter Pastor Sandy has been teaching from here on Sandy Adams Radio. In 1 Corinthians 13, you hear all about love. What it is, why it's important, and why it should fuel your daily activities and interactions. Love is a huge part of walking with Jesus and is the basis for why Christianity exists. God loved you, His creation, so much that He was willing to allow His only Son to die for your sins. Today, you can choose to honor that love by giving Jesus your life. Are you ready to make a decision to follow Christ? If you have any questions or would like someone to pray with you, we'd be happy to speak with you. Give us a call at 770-736-2828. Again, that's 770-736-2828. We're so excited for your new life in Christ. We'd love to meet you too. If you're in the Atlanta area, come visit us this weekend at Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain. You'll find all the information you need at our website, sandyadams.org. If you're not in the area, please take some time to find a church near you. Having a community of believers to support you and encourage you is the best way to start this next chapter of your life. That's all for today. Thanks for tuning in to Sandy Adams Radio.